of Colossians chapter 3. We have been, for at least 1 week, looking into the subject of conformity to Christ. And involved in the conformity to Christ is putting off the old man with his deeds. Now there's an opposite side to that, or I suppose you'd have to call it the plus side, the positive side, to put on the new man. And so we'll read verses 10 through 17, keeping in mind the whole subject is conformity to Christ, but in these verses we will be dealing with the subject of putting on the new man. You put off the old man in verse 9 with his deeds. So that being done, in verse 10, it says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Putting on the new man. Think about that subject for just a few moments tonight. The first thing we'll notice about the new man as opposed to the old man and his deeds is that the new man is God-conscious. The old man is purely after the flesh. The deeds are always after the flesh and after the things of this world. We have been told by Paul, as he wrote to the Romans, to be carnally minded is death. And we see tonight that as we put on the new man, that new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God consciousness tonight. Now, we could live in this world and go through this life not really caring. But thank God somewhere God intervened in our lives and made us conscious of himself, his person, and his presence. And what a privilege to be able to know the Lord tonight and to know that He is. And we're conscious of Him. And being conscious of Him, then the new man will act differently than the old man does. We've been warned in the Word of God that if a person professes one thing and lives another thing, that they stand in great danger. That there is certainly a possibility, and very well may be a probability, that they do not know the Lord that they claim to know. Because the new man is God conscious, and he, being conscious of God, will want to act accordingly. I'm not talking about the anemic God of the modernists. I'm talking about when we begin to be conscious of the God of the Bible, who could speak worlds into existence, who could make a body of a man out of the dust of the ground, then breathe into his nostrils a breath of life, and man become a living soul. And that kind of God that can stand in his place, and he can weigh the world and count the nations as just the small dust in his scales. And just right on down the line, we begin to perceive that God is great and exceedingly great, far more than we could ever imagine. And we're conscious that he knows our every thought, he knows our every deed, and that he's keeping a very exacting record. We're God conscious tonight, and that's the new man. And then we see not only is he God conscious, but with a new man, earthly distinctions lose their significance. Look at the next verse. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There, the earthly distinctions have diminished and literally are gone as the new man. In Paul's day, there were a great host of folks that were slaves. There was an admonition to the slave to obey his master, to do that which was right. On the other hand, he also said to the master, you treat the servant right because you have a master in heaven. These earthly distinctions are gone away. There's a great deal of racial tension in this world. It's not just in the United States of America. That's racial tension that's over in the Middle East between the Jews and the Palestinians. We have it everywhere, and there's distinctions. Those people make a great distinction about their nationality and about their heritage, their forefathers, and all of those things that pertain to that. But thank God in Jesus Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew. But everyone becomes a Christian. It's amazing how that as we mature in Jesus Christ, that we lose some of the old reserves that we've had, and we can go into a service that might be a little bit different because of cultural differences, and yet we're at home because we're in the presence of the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And that earthly distinction is lost as the new man is put on. They lose their significance. No longer are we standing in our arrogance and our pride and saying that we're better than everybody else. The truth of the matter is that the Christian is told to think of everybody else that they're better than they are. And it removes any point of envy and saves a lot of trouble. The third thing we see tonight as we put on the new man is that Christ becomes all and in all. In everyone, without distinction, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ then becomes all. Literally, Jesus Christ becomes the very focus of our lives. He becomes the very source of our strength. He becomes the very thought of our minds right on down the line. Jesus Christ becomes our all in all. Everything that we have or we'll ever need, we have in Jesus Christ. Everything that we ever want to be or look forward to is in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that in Jesus Christ tonight, that we have a promise of a home in heaven. We have those things that are precious, and He just becomes our all. He becomes our consuming life. Oh, it's no wonder that the saints of old that we read about in history, when they were challenged to either deny their faith or forfeit their lives, that they'd say, I'll forfeit my life. Because Jesus Christ had become everything to them, and nothing else was that important. So Christ becomes all in all. Verses 12 and 13. As a new man in Christ, we are to follow Him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's why that early church over in Antioch was called Christians, because they were Christ-like. They were following Christ. They were demonstrating Christ in their lives. And I hope tonight that we have some folks in this generation that would be called upon to be called Christians, because the world is seeing something in us and in them that portrays the fact that they have been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and having spent time with Him, and He has become their own. But follow Him. Put on love, we're told. Now the new man is called to peace in verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Be thankful. Now, you may not understand this right now, but I hope you'll meditate on it, chew on it, and get it, that you've been called to peace. That literally, as a Christian, this is your heritage. Peace. Now, that does not mean it's going to be still around you and it's going to be peaceful around you. But you've been called to peace. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That indicates then that sometimes we might not let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Therefore, we'll be troubled even like the world might be troubled. But we've been called to peace. That's our heritage. The Christian tonight who doesn't have peace is just literally not letting the peace of God rule in his heart. It's ours already. It doesn't have to be won. It's ours. We've been called unto the Lord Jesus Christ to that. Peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord tonight, and He said be thankful that we do have peace. Tell you what, there's not anything like being at peace with God and knowing that we are at peace with God and having that sweet assurance that all is well with our souls. We're at peace. David said, I use it often, but I want to use it again. He said, I lay me down and slept. I wait. The Lord sustained me. And he likely penned that in a time when there's a lot of turmoil around him. But he could lay his head down in peace. He could sleep because the Lord sustained him, because he has peace. He's been called to peace. And you and I tonight, certainly as children of God, the new man, we've been called to peace. In verse 16, the Bible is the new man's diet. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The diet that we have for this life is the Word of God as the new man. Now, the old man had a different appetite. He pursued the things of the world. But the new man, his diet is the Word of God. Let me just give you something here that is, in a sense, unrelated, but it also is related. Sometimes there are parallel passages in different books of the Bible. In the book of Ephesians, we're told, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. In the same framework and setting, in parallel passages when the same subjects are being discussed, and likely the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians, penned by the same man, close to the same time, if not at the same time, intending that the same subjects be discussed. If you want to know how to be filled with the Spirit of God, and you don't have to go through all the physical exercise that the charismatics say that you do, but just let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You fill yourself with the Word of God, and that'll remove a lot of the doubt and wonder about, is the Spirit of God in control of my life? Because the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, makes it real to our hearts and our souls. And so I would recommend, as an effort of filling, just fill yourself with the Word of God. And you'll find out that the Spirit of God manifests Himself in your life. All right. Enough on doctrine. And then, as we think about putting on the new man, final thing, all performance is to be to Christ's glory. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now that means certainly the things that we do in the service of the Lord. Naturally, it ought to be done in the name of the Lord. But do you realize tonight that everything that you do as a believer, as a new man, is to be done for the glory of God? If you plow a field today or tomorrow, apply it as unto the Lord. Do it for the glory of God. You might be surprised how much better the houses would be built if the carpenters kept in mind that their performance would be to be as unto the Lord. I might be a better electrician and do a better job. I would do a better job if I kept that in mind all the time, that my performance was unto the Lord. You might have a a task that seems to be filled with drudgery. It's repetitious. And you go through every day just, I wish quitting time would come. But put it in a new light. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of Jesus Christ. As though you were working for Him. And that at the end of the day, you'd be confronted by Him and you'd be in His presence for His praise or, of course, His censorship. But your performance as a new man in Christ is to be literally unto Him. It makes no difference who the boss really is in this world. The final authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you teach in school, when you work at the bench, when you do the paperwork at the office, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of the Lord. And He said in so doing, just give thanks to God and the Father by Him, that you know Him and that you're privileged to be a new man.